720 WGN on the road with Dane live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue in what is our first overcast day, I think, of our broadcast year. Lise Graham in the booth. She is feeling great. Bob Kessler up there as well. We are going to talk a lot of different things, talk a little bit of cars, make it into a little bit of racing as well. We're going to talk some Cubs. We're going to talk some road trips and some family road trips, including camping when you got the weather like it is and you've got fall colors. You want to get in the car, want to get out there, want to experience some of that nature. We're going to be doing a little bit of that coming up next weekend. I know Northwestern is going to be in there, hopefully winning a big game next weekend, and so you get to hear that here on 720 WGN. The Mecum Auto Auction, it travels the country. It is all over, some of the best cars all over in 2 days being auctioned off front and center. If you have a dream car, it is probably there. If you have, and I think it's for all budgets, right? But if you have a certain amount of dollars set aside for it, you could be driving home with it. We're going to talk with Bill Stevens from NBC Sports Network a little bit later on in the broadcast. He'll be calling live from the auto auction as they broadcast it. Yeah, I don't know. At least, do you think, I know you watch a lot of television, actually you don't, but when you think about, auctions that could be great for TV, does it make good TV? The auto auctions kind of do, because you've got cool cars that you're wondering, you know, what the value is going to be, if they're going to get a deal, all that kind of stuff. But what other kind of auctions might lend themselves to good TV?
I mean, I'm all for like Antiques Roadshow. I guess that's not an auction technically, but they should like some good old antiques. But really, cars are probably the most exciting.
And I like how you brought in the roadshow thing to it. You brought in the road, yes, the travel theme into it. I'm sure that was you thinking ahead right there. And of course, antique roadshows where people find stuff that they've got. Some of it, you know, are things that they know, love, you know, have maybe had in their family for many years. Some they found at a garage sale for almost nothing. Then they found out it's worth a whole bunch. Those stories are cool.
I hate it when it's like they think it's going to be worth a lot, though. And it's like, this is worth $5. I'm like, oh, that's so sad.
I love those moments.
Actually, I love that.
Where they said, do you have any idea what it's worth? And then some people said, well, I've had it appraised. And it's, you know, sometimes it is a lot more. Sometimes it is a lot less, right? Sometimes the people think it's worth a whole bunch and they've got to kind of, well, actually, this is not a real one of these.
It's like burn. This was made in the 80s. It's a replica.
Right. And you can tell they're like, well, as soon as I get out of here, somebody's going to get it. Yeah. So Mecum Auto Auction, these are real cars. These are not cars that
so
are.
So is it like in a big warehouse? What's the setup of the actual auction?
Well, if the big, you know, by big warehouse, you mean the state-of-the-art facility being the Schaumburg Convention Center. Yes, it's happening there. And it's made for TV. So they're going to have, and the way that it is, for those people that haven't seen it, for those just, you know, kind of walk through me or walk with me through it, is so they take a car, let's say it's, you know, it's a 63 split window Corvette kind of thing, and then they're like, here it is, and they'll bring it up. They bring it up on the thing. It all happens very fast. 1,000 cars. We talked with Dave Major, CEO, maybe 2 weeks ago. We had him on, so they have a lot of cars there. It all happens very fast, but a lot of them are really, it isn't, you know, like Lisa's, you know, 84 Chevette. They don't have that.
My 1996 Toyota Corolla.
Right, Toyota Corolla.
Yeah, they don't have that for sure.
Tape deck doesn't work. Let's go for our first bid.
I had two keys to start that car.
That's right. So a little bit of extra fun with it. So they'll pull it up and then they bring out the bids and they do the whole, like, you know, that kind of thing, and sold. It makes for good TV. We're going to talk with Bill a little bit later on in the program. Coming up, you got a chance to watch the Cubs last night. They are on the road themselves. I'm doing the air quote, making their way towards hopefully what will be another World Series championship. And, you know, there's a lot of competition that goes on the field. Also a competition going on in the concession stands. People don't necessarily know about this, but there's a big one. You know, when you get to the Super Bowl, you'll have the mayors out there kind of saying like, hey, let's give Eli's cheesecake. And then the mayor from Boston will do I'll give you lobsters or, you know, or whatever it is that they have to offer. Well, for this series, some of the iconic foods of both Chicago and DC have a wager going, and the people, I think everybody's a winner, except for, of course, the Nationals at the end of the series, they'll lose. But everybody's a winner when it comes to food. These are both great foods. You got Ben's Chili Bowl. I'm familiar with them for many years covering food. So they are in Washington.
Is it like a bowl of chili?
Well, it's a restaurant. It's called Ben's Chili Bowl. They do have chili,
but what's like their Italian beef, kind of.
Okay, so their dish, and this is something that has also been around for many, many years, and it is for sale. It's one of their most popular things at the concession stands for the Nationals during the those games, and so people are going to be eating some of those, I'm guessing, tonight, and it is called the Half-Smoked, and we're going to get the lowdown on the Half-Smoked, a little bit of the history, plus the history of Ben's Chili Bowl, 9 locations, plus they've got it in some of the grocery stores as well. So we'll be hearing from Vita Ali. She is there with the family. I think her dad was Ben himself, and she'll be joining us. And then we're going to have, I'm not sure if it's going to be Joe Bona or if it's going to be our favorite marketing guy, John Gill, is going to call up from Bona Beef, because that is the competition. You know, so Bona Beef, the official beef of Wrigley Field, is going to be taking part in that. And in a winner-take-all situation, we've got a number of personalities around Chicago that are going to eat the whatever the other one, and I'm sure in D.C. as well. So hopefully, you know, we'll learn what it is, and I'm sure it can't be bad, right?
I mean, yeah, it's probably nothing I can eat, but I'm sure it's...
There's meat in it. I'm familiar with that there's meat in it. So we'll hear about it. Yeah, I guess, you know, Washington's got a pretty good palate, and I'm sure that a lot of people can't be wrong, but hopefully, and I'm pretty sure, end result is they're going to be eating some beef. So we'll do that. Plus, road trip. Now, Lise, you have traveled. You have gone to a lot of national parks. You've hiked. You've probably skydived. You've bungee jumped.
Have you skydived?
No, I would never do that.
The past tense, skydove. Skydove? No. Okay, anyway.
I'm not sure.
Yes.
But as far as one of the best road trips, we talked about it early on in the program, would be travel to go see the Cubs, and no better reason to do it than during the playoffs, where you can see some of these other cities while you're cheering the Cubs on to eventual victory. And so Danny Rocket is going to be joining us as well a little bit later on in the program, maybe about a quarter after 3. Now, he has, you know him from Bleed Cubby Blue, which is one of the most popular blogs covering the Cubs. He's got his band, which the name of the band is Bad Teenage Mustache, and he creates a lot of the parody songs that people know and love related to the Cubs. So there's a whole bunch of that. Plus, he travels. So he's going to give us some tips. So if we decide, hey, you know what, I can't wait for the Cubs to get back here. Tickets are tougher to get here than they are in some of these other locations. We've seen that in a multitude of sports. And so he's going to give us kind of the tips, the do's, the don'ts, things to do, things to avoid, maybe some cities to avoid. So you can cheer for cities, not because you think the Cubs will win, because you don't like the people you'd have to hang out with if they play there. So stay tuned for all that. Plus, for Bona Beef, we've got our $25 gift card for your first car, your favorite car, or your dream car. I know some of those cars are happening front and center and being driven back to their new garages from the Mecum Auto Auction. So stay tuned for that Bona Beef bona fide ride of the show. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to have Vita Ali from Ben's Chili Bowl talking about the big battle of the sandwiches for the Cubs and the Nationals. Quick break. .720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And some of the biggest battles this fall are going on the field between our mighty and beloved Chicago Cubs and the Washington Nationals out there. But some of the ways that fans get involved, obviously cheer, but also, you know, some of the things going on in the ballpark as far as the food. The food is getting involved in the rivalry as well. And of course, locally here and for the show, our bona fide ride of the show, sponsored every week by our good friends at Bona Beef, one of the iconic indigenous delicacies of Chicago. And that is being put up as the wager against one of DC's favorite food, legendary food over there at Ben's Chili Bowl. And on the line with us, representing the Half Smoked, is the one and only Vita Ali. Vita, welcome to WGN.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're excited to have you. I mean, in a friendly competition, you know, of food, both of these things have gained a great following over many, many years because they're good and people love them. But for those people that are getting more of an introduction into the Half-Smoked here in Chicago, we have people on the street saying, what is it? Well, Vita, what is it?
So a Half-Smoked is actually D.C.'s signature dish. Mom Pop in 1958 put a breakfast sausage on a bun, add chili on it, and it became the original half smoked. So it's a half beef, half pork sausage.
So it's a half beef, half pork sausage, of course, here in Chicago, you know, land of the stockyards, meat packing. You know, we love our meat here, and we love our breakfast here, too. So this sounds like something everybody could get their head around, but it really took off in D.C., right?
Yep, it's now the signature dish of D.C.
So, and let's talk about Ben's Chili Bowl. I am aware of it. I have heard of it, covering a lot of the food stuff here in Chicago and personalities and places around the country as well. Ben's Chili Bowl is very, very famous. And that is your kind of family legacy, right? You've been in this since the beginning.
So in 1958, August 22nd, 1958, the doors were opened, and it became known for all the activists of the 60s, during the 60s, to come through, and they would have a lot of meetings here. And then when the assassination of King took place, we were given special privileges from the White House to stay open to feed the first responders. So things started building, being a special part of the community. And then we had special guests, like when Obama won his first election, his first public outing was at Ben's Chili Bowl. So, of course, that made world news. And we were blessed to have all walks be a part. And so over time, we have came kind of a staple in the community, and it grew it to where it's known throughout the states and internationally as well.
That makes a lot of sense, even though, of course, you know, President Obama is from Chicago. He is actually a big White Sox fan, so that makes sense that he would go there and that you guys would be battling against the Cubs for food supremacy. Here, one of the things that's exciting for Bona Beef, you know, you find your place when you're loved, you get with the teams that people love. It's the official beef of Wrigley Field and of the Cubs, and you guys are at the field where the Nationals play as well. So what's that been like, kind of being a part of the baseball situation there?
You know, it's so wonderful to be a partner with them. And yes, we are part of it, and it's one of the busiest stands. So we're truly happy to be a partner of the Nats and to be, you know, representing them in this wager.
There's no losing here. You know, I think the worst thing that comes, we've got to eat a delicious snack that is taking over Washington, D.C. If somehow, for some reason, the National wins, you'll have to enjoy an Italian beef. And that's not so bad. I think that's a great thing. So we're excited about it. And then if for some reason the Nationals are able to beat our world champion Cubs, I look forward to enjoying some half-smoked.
I know we started off with a bad start, but I'm thinking we're going to take this one.
I know you do. You got to stay positive. That's what's kept Ben's Chili Bowl right there on the map for so many years. Positivity. And
exactly.
And you're not going to give up on those Nationals. I know that. And if something happens, we'll be there to console you with a big bone of beef. So I hope you'll be ready for that too. All right, Vita. Thanks so much. Give some information. So when people travel, of course, we highlight great road trips. D.C. is not that far away. Lots of people go there. Do you guys have a website where people can come and visit you?
Absolutely. So it's benschilibowl.com.
Benschilibowl.com. I am telling you, people, if you make your way to D.C. to see any one of the, you know, the kind of historical structures, or get out there for your field trip or whatever travels take you through there, make a stop, as so many people have done, at Ben's Chili Bowl. You will not be disappointed. And maybe you'll see a picture of a bone of beef on the wall. I don't know. You never know. Down the road. Vita, good luck with everything. Thanks so much for being on WGN today.
Thanks so much, Dane. Have a wonderful day, okay?
You bet. All right, thanks, Vita. You were great. It's going to be on a little bit later here in Chicago. And then, so we got a chance to talk with Vita Ali from Ben's Chili Bowl. So she was on there kind of giving the lowdown on the half-smoked on the line with us. Now, the other side of the equation, we have one of the visionary leaders of this iconic and wonderful delicacy we have here in Chicago that is going to be spreading around the nation as people get word of not only the victories, but the great taste from Bona Beef, is Joe Bona. Joe, welcome to WGN.
Well, hello, Dane. Thank you for having me on.
No, thanks for everything that you're doing. Did you know when you get in there and you become the official beef of Wrigley Field, and of course that is great, you're helping people enjoy their game day experience on a complete and different level, that you'd have to be out here kind of defending the honor of the Cubs on the food side?
Well, actually, it's my pleasure. I've been a Cub fan my whole life, and our family are diehard Cub fans, so we're excited to be able to do it. And it's a little unfortunate that we're not going to get to taste this half smoke, because we are probably going to sweep them.
Yes. Well, Vita is very, you know, she's upbeat and positive, and that's the way you want people, right? You don't want to, you know, take all the wind out of the sails there. But have you, just as in general recon, have you ever, and being a person in the food world, have you ever tried one of these half smokes?
I have not. I haven't. And it sounds delicious. And I would love to, hopefully maybe they'll send us a congratulatory package after we win, and as we send them our Italian beef. But Yeah, no, it should be fun. It sounds delicious.
Yeah, it sounds delicious, but maybe send them some bone of beef and they'll have it. So how's it going to work? So after the series, after the Cubs win, are you going to ship them? Are you going to demand some sort of proof that they've actually eaten it, and then we'll have some proof of it?
Exactly. Yeah, we're going to send them our hats and shirts and nice. Our Italian beef with all the, you know, jardiniere and the bread. And we'll give them some instructions how to make it. And hopefully they'll be able to put it on their Facebook page and or, you know, video it and send it to us. And, yeah, I think it's a good idea if they put those pictures up in their restaurants too, like you suggested. That'd be great.
That's right. I think that's what you need to do. I think they're going to become huge fans, as so many people have been. So Joe, before we let you go, wishing of course the Cubs good luck, and we know they've been the good luck charm. Bona Beef has been for the Cubs. They hadn't won anything until you guys, you know, started participating. Even Anthony Rizzo has been hitting more home runs because of it. So give the website out for the 19 locations. I know there's another one coming up soon in Chicago.
Yes, so we're opening on McClure Court in Ontario and right around Halloween, and our website is bona.com, and that's bona.com.
Joe Bona, thanks so much for what you're doing, and so much fun getting involved here with the Cubs and the Nationals, and look forward to some extra victories. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Dane. Let's go Cubs.
Go Cubs. All right, thanks. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, for those people that want to travel out there, maybe have a half smoke in person at a Ben's Chili Bowl, if you want to go ahead and do that and take one of these road trips, a family road trip, a Cubs road trip, and head out to some of these cities, you've got a few more days to get out there to Washington, D.C. Danny Rocket is going to join us. He is, you know him as the front man for Bad Teenage Mustache, and if you get into Bleed Cubby Blue, one of those great blogs, you see him all the time. So stay tuned for Danny. We come back from this break. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
Hayward's been rolling out to second base. Seems like he did it all year. Or he gets under and hits a pop fly. At least his speeches are great. But Hayward is found
720
the swing, and he says,
WGN on the road with Dane live here, Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, and a guy that has been on the road, whether in service of a entertaining music with the Bad Teenage Mustache Band or on the road actually following the Cubs, which he did last year and I'm sure is poised to do this year as the Cubs make another run, hopefully deep into the playoffs, is the one and only, the incomparable Danny Rocket. Danny, welcome to WGN.
Hey, thanks, Dane. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to have you. And apropos that you're at Wrigley right now. You are not on the road at this point because you've got some stuff you're setting up for the band and everything like that. But you're there trying to kind of soak in the game at that park at Wrigley. So what is that like? I mean, I think that's very cool that people can kind of be with the bars are great too. Restaurants, nothing wrong with that. But it's cool to be at the park.
Oh, well, it's going to be great today until we all get soaked with the thunderstorm that I can see coming in overhead. So, but no, they're showing the game up here on the big screen, and they got W flags hanging up all over the place, and they're just going to get ready to open about 3:30. So they got people hanging out, waiting to get in, maybe grab a table. So that's what I'm doing down here too.
We talk about road trips, regardless of what it is. You know, you get out there for the vacation. You can do kind of the road trip to, you know, a national park, to, you know, amusement park, to see some destinations, some history, some things like that. But last year I heard about it as a lot of people traveled. And I know that you and I, you know, got to talk a little bit about it on this station too, as people are traveling to go see the Cubs. It's not always as easy to see them here at Wrigley, and sometimes it's cool to get out there and see them play at some of those other parks. So talk about it. If you had to do a guidebook, a do's and don'ts, things that people should consider when they're going to go follow the Cubs on the road, what are they?
Well, I mean, I like to travel as cheaply as possible. I'm sure most people do. So I do a lot of like Airbnbs and a lot of Southwest in the playoffs. You know, oftentimes games, you don't know who's going to win and where you're going to be going next. But I like using Southwest because they give you your money back on your flight. So, but I would also say, you know, a lot of parks won't allow you to bring your W flags in. I've heard of people in D.C. getting their W flags confiscated at the gates. I've also heard of really, really long lines in D.C. My friend Heather said it was 50 minutes standing in line to get into the ballpark yesterday. So I would say arrive as early as possible so you don't miss anything. And, let's face it. Also, the fans in certain places, especially like Los Angeles, can be quite rude and violent to opposing teams, to Cubs fans specifically. In Los Angeles last year, my girlfriend was punched in the eye. And I was challenged to a fight in the outfield for standing up for some guy who is also getting harassed. And it can be a real mess out there. So if you want to avoid that, I would say spend the money, sit behind the Cubs dugout where you'll likely be safe because the Cubs can protect you with their bats.
It's crazy to think, right? Because you think of this, you know, and there's been a lot of kind of violent sports rivalries that we hear about, you know, all through time and all sorts of different sports. So you think about Cub Nation and, you know, lovable losers maybe was one of the monikers that we had for so many years. But I don't know that I think the Cub fans are generally good natured and friendly. And I think open to, you know, the possibility of disappointment. Certainly we've had that. I would think that other cities would be happy to have Cub fans there. What do you think? Is it just Los Angeles and
Georgia? I mean, that's what I tell everybody. I say, you should be happy that I'm in your town, staying at your hotels or Airbnbs, spending my money at your bars and restaurants. And, people, there's a lot of alcohol involved usually when things get out of hand. And now that's another piece of advice. If you do go to Los Angeles, if we end up going to Los Angeles, there's no bars around there anywhere to hang out at all. And they have bike cops that are patrolling the parking lot, making sure nobody's drinking out there because they had a Giants fan nearly killed out there. So I'm telling you, I'm not even don't want to underestimate that Los Angeles is a dangerous place to watch a baseball game.
See,
it just is. I hate to say it, but it's just I wouldn't go back, to be honest. Not this year.
It's important advice. And, of course, I don't know that you can necessarily cheer for just trying. Of course, Los Angeles is an imposing team. They've got a great record. They're going to be tough. But you choose, you know, you could root for them to lose for other reasons, right, because you don't want to happen to go back there. On the American League.
Arizona's much nicer.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Right. Absolutely. And there's a lot of transplanted
Chicagoans
there. I think that'd be almost like a home game. That actually sounds pretty great. So what were some of the feedback that you heard? Because you look at Cleveland, they are going to be even tougher, right? This is a team that is on a mission. I kind of consider them along the lines of the Cubs after, you know, they beat the Cardinals in the playoffs, then got swept by the Mets. You know, they had the eye of the tiger. You know, that they were on a mission to go ahead and get this thing done. And I think that's what you have with the Indians. You know, they set some kind of record for consecutive wins. And I think it would be very, very sad if the Indians got in and it was against the Cubs and the Cubs had to beat them again. I mean, I think it's necessary, but it would be very sad. They would, I think, achieve kind of cavalier status when the Michael Jordan Bulls used to go ahead and beat them, where it's just like it would be sad. But they're going to be a tough team. What was some of the feedback on Cleveland if that's what ends up happening for the World Series?
Well, Cleveland's wonderful. They've got a ton of bars and restaurants with great food and everything all around. You can just walk around the ballpark and you'll find something. My favorite is Wilbert's, which also has live music, and my band's played there a few times. And nice. The owner's super cool. And, I mean, it was packed the last time we were there. We were shoved out onto a deck. You know, basically, we couldn't even lift our arms. That's how we were packed in.
Wow.
Into Wilbert's. So get there early if you want to get a table and a spot. I mean, it's the same thing in Wrigleyville. I'm imagining as the Cubs go deeper into the playoffs, the crowds will get bigger down here in Wrigley. So it's all about arriving early. But Cleveland's wonderful. The fans are wonderful. That ballpark is really, I don't know, it's just inviting. It's just friendly. It has more Midwestern vibe, and the people are much nicer.
Well,
so,
you talked a little bit about kind of the travel side of it. Southwest is one of the modes of transportation on the airline side that you like, but you're a fly by the seat of your pants kind of guy, and you usually show up. Sometimes you'll show up without a ticket, right? And then somehow manage to get in.
Well, yeah, I mean, I got people that, you know, that they're wheel and deal in tickets. And so, like, basically what happens is as they try to sell their tickets, for me, it's a kind of an inside job because they try to make money on their tickets. If they can't do it, then I go. That's how it works for me. But there's always a way to get in. I don't really have any real ticket advice, except for that, you know, if just know a lot of people and be a friendly person.
I get it.
And eventually a ticket will fall in your lap. And, you know, just be active in your Cubs community. And, you know, people were offering me tickets today or trying to, you know, because they don't want to do StubHub and make people pay all those extra stupid fees, you know?
So thoughtful. So the advice that you would give, the advice you would give is be Danny Rocket. That's one thing. Be active in your Cub community. And the last thing before we let you go, and I know people can enjoy you in Bleed Cubby Blue, is give the website where people can check out all those great parodies. Because for those people that don't know, we played one coming into the segment, is that you are the foremost kind of Cub creator on the music side when it comes to fun songs.
Well, yeah, I mean, hopefully I'll inspire other people to do it in the future because I love listening to them too. But you can find almost everything at sunranto.com, which is where I am at Twitter too, at sunranto. And I all the songs are up on YouTube and I don't know, just Google me, Danny Rocket with two T's. You'll find me.
I'm glad we found you today. So thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for jumping on. It's going to be a fun postseason and look forward to talking to you a little bit more down the road. Thanks, Danny.
All right. Thanks, Dane. I really love talking to you. And go Cubs.
Go Cubs. Right. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll send it to news. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
Hey, everybody. Danny the Count Coker here from Counting Cars and Count 77. You are on the road with Dane. Come on, people. Turn it up.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true.
720 WGN on the road with Dane live here. Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue and some of the best cars that we have in our world, basically, whether it comes through those muscle cars of the 60s and 70s to some of the fuel efficient cars that are happening nowadays, you know, with the Teslas and then some of those ones that people know and love throughout the ages, regardless of the time period or the year, some of the Corvettes. And we're going to talk with them. We'll have Bill Stevens on from NBC. SN, he'll be coming on with us in a little bit live from the Mecum Auto Auction. Hopefully he'll give us a call. But we're going to talk a little bit of camping as well. So we are getting an opportunity to do some camping a little later on this next week. I think it's going to be a little bit of a longer week. And so we're going to have the opportunity to get up to Hayward, Wisconsin. So 312-981-7200. If anybody has any advice on camping in Hayward, Wisconsin, let us know. And Lise, you've been up there before. So we're going to talk about that with you a little bit later on in the program. But how you get to Hayward, Wisconsin is entirely up to you. You could take a camper. I don't know if you'd ride your bike. It's about 6 hours away from here. Or you could take a car that you got brand new. New to you anyway, from the Mecum Auto Auction. On the line with us is a guy that is making so much of that great TV happen along with all those great cars. It is Bill Stevens. Bill, welcome to WGN.
Well, thank you very much, Dane. It's a pleasure to be on one of the world's great radio stations.
One of the great auto auctions being highlighted on one of the great radio stations and with some of these great cars, right? Because we had talked with Dave Major maybe 2 weeks ago, and he was really excited about some of the cars, always great cars, but some of the really great cars that were coming to the auction this week.
Oh, there's no question about that. The list of consignments here in Chicago include everything. We've got restored muscle cars, customs, even some 1920s and 30s classics, all totally restored, several race cars, anything here, and many of these cars are show quality.
Well, some of them are the kind of, you know, you want to say it, kind of classic cars that have retained their value, whether it's those muscle cars, the GTOs, the Hemis, you know, the Corvettes, some of those that are just popular regardless of the year. Some of them, you know, maybe are kind of the flavor of the month. Does it happen that way? I know it does in food and certainly in fashion and other things. Does it happen where you're doing these auctions where certain cars become more popular that given auction?
Yeah, you know what? One of the sayings that we use in the auction business is the market is fluid. It's always changing. Certain cars become very desirable, very collectible, and sometimes cars that were at the peak of their value, yeah, they can decline somewhat. The trick is being able to predict that. And I can tell you, you know, from personal experience, that ever since the collector car market really started ramping up in the late 80s, up until present, it has been very difficult to predict which cars are going to skyrocket in value, which ones may become a little bit softer in their collectability. And that's kind of one of the fun things about this, actually, because it always keeps you on your toes watching the market and trying to determine where the values are going to go.
We let the listeners know we're talking with Bill Stevens from NBCSN. They are making some great TV out of what is always some great action on the car side. What is it, Bill, about these auctions, these live auctions, that make it, it really does, I'll find myself glued to these broadcasts, that makes it compelling TV?
Well, you know what? One of the great stories I love to tell is when I encounter people at the auction and they'll come to me and they'll say, you know, I put the auction on TV the other day on NBCSN, and I thought, you know, I'll just watch for 15 or 20 minutes, and the next thing they know, they've been watching for 2 or 3 hours. It's, it's infectious. It really is. It pulls you in because every car that comes across the block has a different story, either because of the use of the equipment condition, how much it's where the bidding is going to go. It's a little mini soap opera every time a different car hits the block. I got to tell you, the thing that I get a kick out of is if you look at the audience at these auctions, you'll see the wives sitting there with the husbands just as enthusiastic. Now, without trying to sound sexist, you know, it's a pretty well-known reality that most of the collector car market is populated by men. And, you know, if you take a look at some of the stereotypical stories that people tell you about their experiences collecting cars, they'll say, well, you know, I love doing this. My wife, you know, she's not that big into it. But I'll tell you, you come to the auction, you'll see couples, married couples sitting there and getting just as ramped up about the cars and many times bidding on the cars and buying the cars. And the wives sometimes are more excited than the husbands. It's always fascinating to watch.
It sounds, I mean, right, it is. And they get in there. There's a lot of drama that goes along with it. You mentioned the soap opera. It is the kind of thing that kind of draws people in. There's that excitement of, for some of these people, you know, they've got, it's an investment, right? And they're hoping to get something out of it that they're hoping for. For some of those, and we've talked about it all the time on this show, they're hoping to finally get and grab hold of that particular dream car. When we talk about some of them becoming more popular, is it movies? You know, if you're in like Fast and Furious, or if you're in the old, you know, Steve McQueen movie, or Gone in 60 Seconds, to some of those cars that are up on the big screen, does that kind of popularity then kind of transfer to the market?
Absolutely, they can be. And you know, not only in movies but in television, in almost every area of popular culture, there's an automobile or a type of automobile or a brand of automobile that connects you to whatever that little chunk of culture happens to be. We see cars come through here that are replicas of the Dodge Charger that was used on the Dukes of Hazzard. We get Trans Ams that come through here that are identical to the ones that Burt Reynolds drove in the Smokey and the Bandit movies. Yes. And the cars that Steve McQueen had in the movies that he starred in. So there's an inescapable connection between what we remember in terms of our popular culture and in the media, and the automobiles that we're also drawn to.
You know, we want to say, too, you mentioned one of the great radio stations. Our reach is extended beyond our normal reach now with the advent of the Internet. And one of your fans and our listeners, Wally, is listening to us right now in Shanghai. He sent over a picture of a Lamborghini that he sees. So he's enjoying the broadcast as well. And then Greg, one of our listeners, wants to know, he wants to say, he said, ask Bill if they have a 1990 Cadillac Elante. Is that, I don't know. That was kind of a transitional car for Cadillac. Have you seen a couple of those?
Yeah, you know what? We haven't had one here in Chicago, but we do run into them fairly regularly on our auctions. A fascinating car in Cadillac history. A car that still has an audience, just like the gentleman that got in touch with you. And not impossible to own. They are affordable. They have not appreciated in value. They've become attainable to a lot of people who remember them, first of all, and the history that goes along, how they were a collaboration between General Motors and Pininfarina, and the cars were the bodies constructed in Italy and loaded upon specially equipped 747s and flown to this country to be completed.
Man.
So, yeah, there's some passionate people about those cars.
Bill, you're amazing. You've mentioned every car as a backstory, and you happen to know it. That is really incredible. Now, we think of Chicago. We've got a lot of pride here. Obviously, we've got, you know, great architecture, great food, great sports, great, you know, fans of so many things, including automotive and motorsports enthusiasts. As Mecum travels around the country, and you're part of so many of those broadcasts, are there, like, where does Chicago kind of rank up as far as enthusiasm for some of these collectible cars?
It's the Midwest is very hot for collectible cars. Chicago, Detroit, of course, the birthplace of the automobile, really it has become an epicenter of interest. And we have several auctions in the center of the country, and the enthusiasm at all of them is quite high. We'll be traveling to Kansas City in the next year twice. In fact, we'll be heading to Kansas City in the end of November, December. We go to Louisville. We just got back from Louisville, Kentucky. Of course, Chicago, a big market, a large city, lots of automotive interest here. And we've had packed houses here at the Schaumburg Convention Center all 3 days.
Last thing before we let you go, we certainly want to find out where people can get a hold of you, watch you, kind of see some of the things that you're doing for sure. But also, too, is, you know, you as Bill Stevens, a guy who does this all day, every day, did you see anything here in Chicago so far that you were surprised about and really excited about?
Well, there were a couple of cars that I was definitely drawn to that if I were a bidder, I definitely would have been raising my hand. One was a 1966 Corvette 427 Roadster, a silver one in beautiful condition, side exhaust, knockoff wheels, just the way I would have ordered one back in 1966 if I had the chance. And there has been an exceptional lineup of vintage Corvettes here, even going back to 1953. We had a 1953 Corvette,
wow.
1954 Corvette. So we've run the entire gamut of Corvettes, and each one to be even more spectacular than the one before it.
And Lisa, our producer, wanted to know, she's looking for Fiat, any Fiat. So we talk about a lot of muscle cars. I know that Dave Majors mentioned that's kind of the key thing. But you got a lot of foreign cars there, at least some to choose from, maybe a Fiat?
Yeah, I don't think we've had a Fiat. We've had a couple of Alfa Romeos.
Nice.
We had a vintage 1963 BMW, a little sedan, that probably not many people have ever seen in their lives. That crossed the auction block earlier today. But I would say the greatest majority of cars that we see at the Mecum auctions are domestic cars.
So many different cars, so many great cars, an opportunity not only to see them and enjoy them, but also buy one and take it home. Let the listeners know we're talking with Bill Stevens, correspondent from NBC, SN, and for the Mecum Auto Show. So, Bill, as we let you go, is there a site where people can check up and maybe travel to see the next auction and maybe keep up with your adventures?
Absolutely. We always highly recommend people log on to Mecum.com, Mecum.com. And to register for Mecum InfoNet, which is very simple, takes 30 seconds. You just enter your email address, and you can log on, and you can get all the results from previous auctions, and you can get the upcoming auctions, the consignments, see what cars are coming up, and we'll be heading for Las Vegas on November 16th, and we'll have coverage on Facebook Live November 17th and 18th, and that's going to be a lot of fun to do. Las Vegas, this is the first time that we're having an automobile auction in Las Vegas, and we're expecting it to be a grand slam.
Wow. There's so many different ways to enjoy it and enjoy some of those cars throughout the ages. And again, get there, see some of that action, the entertainment part of it, watch it on NBC, SN, and hopefully maybe go home with your dream car as well. So, Bill, we're going to let you get back to all the action. Thanks for everything that you're doing, and thanks for jumping on the line today.
Hey, thanks a lot, Dane. Great talking to you.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have someone who's taking a regular road trip. This is a guy who travels oftentimes to Mexico in the name of Great Mezcal, and now he is just north of the border. Well, we'll be for our camping trip coming up a little later on in this next week. We're going to talk with Lou Bank, the Mezcal Whisperer, as he's up there doing other things north of the border, so stay tuned for that. It's it's on the road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
Hi, folks. This is Darrell Waltrip, a NASCAR analyst on Fox, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN. Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillac.
720 WGN on the road with Dane live here in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue on what is a windy, gloomy, sort of wet day here on Saturday as we kind of get into fall. Still have some nice temperatures and still, I think, a great opportunity to get in the car, get the family in the car, take that family road trip and head out and do some camping. And hopefully maybe we'll have Lou Bank give us a call in a little bit. If not, you know, who cares? He's going to be calling in from Wisconsin where he's at. But we can talk a little bit about it here because this will be the first opportunity for us and our kids. We've got three kids that are 10, 9, 6 years old. So little kids, their first opportunity to do some real camping, right? And we're going to be heading up to Hayward, Wisconsin. One of our good friends, Dave, has got some cabins up there. So we'll be right on the lake. We're going to have an opportunity to do a little bit of fishing. And hopefully it won't be too cold. Get to see some fall colors, and the kids are excited to maybe see a bear, you know, from a safe distance, maybe through a window. Certainly, maybe an eagle, squirrels. I think I can promise maybe squirrels or chipmunks. I'm not sure. So, Lise, when it comes down to heading to Hayward, Wisconsin, or the area up there, the Northwoods, this is a thing that you and your family do on a regular basis. You're traveling north all the time.
Yeah, we do. So every summer since for like 17 or 18 years, my family and I go up with a bunch of other families. My dad's still friends with his friends from kindergarten, believe it or not.
What do they talk about? Hey, remember when you didn't know all your colors?
Right. It's crazy. The friendships have evolved since kindergarten. Not much, but yeah, so all the families go, and now, you know, now the kids are having kids. It's kind of crazy. But yeah, we rent a little like 1950s style cabin up in Crystal Falls, Michigan.
What makes a cabin a 1950s style? It's got
it's not been updated since 1950. Oh, okay. I mean, we got a new refrigerator and a new TV, which was a big deal. But but yeah, no, it's very rustic. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. We just fish and camp. And I think I called in July when I was on the way up there.
Yeah.
On the road.
Now, was that in Wisconsin or was that actually?
Michigan. Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Yeah. It's like one of those things where you drive through Wisconsin to get there and then you like drive over a couple bridges and you're like back in Michigan, then back in Wisconsin, and then you're in Michigan technically.
So it's going to be it's a long trip. It's maybe 6 hours up to Hayward. It is, Hayward, Wisconsin has got, I've been told there are some modern amenities nearby.
That's
right? They've
good.
Got a Walmart,
yeah.
And then there's probably
a Walmart.
There's a Farm and Fleet or something
exactly.
there if you need anything. But supply wise, I think we're going to be able to bring some fishing poles and do some things, maybe make some s'mores, do a campfire, doing
totally.
Some of those things. Hoping it just isn't super cold, you know, and it's probably cool enough where you won't have the whole mosquito situation.
Yeah, that's good. And then, like I said earlier off the air, you're going to see some nice fall colors, which I don't ever see because we always go in July, but it's going to be beautiful. And so I'm curious for the road trip part of it. Do your kids have their own devices? Like, will they be just watching movies, just like tuned out? Because when I was growing up, it was like my parents rigged this, like, you know, those box little 2-inch TV screens. We rigged one of those up with like a VHS player, like
in the car.
Recorded it to our to our minivan. We would watch like watch Field of Dreams or whatever on VHS. Actually, one time we were watching Field of Dreams, and then all of a sudden we pulled up, and they surprised us. We were in Iowa. They brought us to the Field of Dreams.
No.
Yes.
How crazy is that?
It was crazy.
Well,
were like totally into it.
Your parents.
There you go. You should do that for your kids.
Well, it'd be in the opposite direction.
It's not really on the way.
But you know, they have a flair for the dramatic. That would be a real surprise.
Totally.
You know, here's the thing, and I'm not sure how I feel necessarily about it. If anybody, 312-981-7200, you can text and you can call and give them to Lee. Certainly your bona fide ride of the show, your first car, your favorite car, or your dream car, or your game that you would play to keep your kids occupied. You know, we did the whole punch ball, or, you know, 20 questions thing. I don't think they have the patience for that.
Oh, my boyfriend and I play 20 questions still. We play Harry Potter edition. It's crazy.
What is Harry? So they all have to be Harry Potter
have to be
related.
Harry Potter related. It's really nerdy.
It sounds
we enjoy it.
It sounds like a confining way to play that game. Well, at first, you know, my wife and I were like, well, it's going to be great. You know, there'll be no TV and we don't have to worry about any distraction. And then we found out that it has Wi-Fi. Of course, the kids were extremely excited about that. And they all have their own little tablets. And then we're like, okay. So I feel kind of bad. You know, we're going to do we've got Monopoly. So they've been with the Grahams, they've been learning to play Monopoly, which is kind of an extended adventure, right? Board game wise, it takes hours.
Oh, yeah.
Monopoly.
Oh, totally. Wait, I'm just seeing a cool text. We have a listener in Shanghai. Hi, Wally. Thank you so much for listening. Shanghai.
Yeah, that's a road trip right there.
Yeah, that's a big road trip. Maybe a boat trip or plane, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm wondering what they're going to go ahead and do. They've got their own tablet, so they'll be playing on that. And then we're going to do some kind of stuff hanging out at the it already sounds kind of boring. You know what I mean?
No, it doesn't.
Doesn't
I mean, you're just going to be there like 3 days or whatever. Right?
Yeah.
So
no, I think
they'll cram all the fun stuff in.
Yeah, it's been years since I could actually honestly say, hey, I've been bored.
Yeah, right.
So this will be great. So do we have like a little break before we end up
wrapping
up?
Yeah, we do.
So we're going to take a quick break right now. We're going to come back, thank everybody. We're going to pick out maybe a winner, and then we'll send it to news. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.